Hi, friends. This is Angie,
Becca,
Heather,
Bonnie,
your host of the Seasons Ministry Podcast. We are jumping right back into Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. So I'll go ahead and read those, and I would just encourage you to meditate on them, to take this slow, but to also memorize them, because there is something great about putting all these scriptures in your heart so they come to your memory when you are out getting all opportunities to walk in trust, right? So verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. And for this episode, we're going to center in on that second half of verse 5 that says, do not lean on your own understanding.
So I feel like when we say do not lean on your own understanding, we've been kind of breaking these down with a dictionary. So I guess I don't really know how to look that up in the dictionary, lean on your own understanding. But to me, that means don't rely on what the world tells you. Don't rely on what situations tell you, but to lean on him and to lean on his word and his truth, what you know about his character, and lean on the fact that he is our comforter, our provider, our refuge, our strength, our source of so many things. And when we are trusting in the Lord, a lot of times we're waiting on the Lord. And one of the section of verses, Bonnie used a little verse of it in the last section, Proverbs 37, and there's four or five verses in there that I have come back to a lot of times in my life. So I'm going to start with Psalms 37, 4, and go through to 7. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not for yourself over this one, over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. So, excuse me. I used to think of verse 5 or verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of our heart, almost sort of like a magic way to get what I want from God. And so in my immaturity, I would think that if I came to God and I loved him and I served him, then he would give me what I want. Mm-hmm. And I think that is leaning on my own understanding. But over the years, God has shown me that when I delight myself in the Lord, it is me learning to want what he wants. It's me surrendering to his plan and to his will. So when it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart, it's a reflection of his goodness, because he doesn't just ask us to do what he tells us. But if we come to him and we love him and we serve him and we turn our eyes towards him, then he starts to change our heart. The transformation starts to happen in us, and our heart turns from being deceitful to being a heart that wants what he wants. So in his kindness, he not only asks us for obedience, but he gives us a longing to do what he wants. So it's this beautiful cycle of, I want what he wants, he gives me what I want, which is what he wants. So then as we get into verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. And then verse 7, circling back to the waiting, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. I think that is where we come into the lean not on our own understanding. Because so many times in scripture, so many times every day of my life, it's so easy to just do what I think is right. But the more that we lean into, the more that I try to surrender to God, and the more that he shows me about who he is and what he wants for me, the more that I can rest in him and wait for him to work, wait for him to provide the opportunity, wait for him to make something happen. And it's always better when he does it. He's never late, but he's also never early. So it's a trick. It's not something that we easily do, but it's something that we work towards and work on always, because no matter what we're doing, we're waiting on God for something, and it's so much easier to just trust in what we know.
Mm-hmm. It is, and like we all make plans, right? We all make plans, and, you know, we're told, you know, he channels the waters. I mean, he's the one that, you know, guides us to what he wants us to do, and just for an example, I never wanted to be married or have kids. And we'll be married for 24 years, and I have two boys that, and I said I'd never homeschool, and I homeschool. So you can make those plans, and then God's laughing like, no, 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 I've got different plans for you. So to trust him is really to live in his light, to seek his face in everything, to find him in the mundane of every day, whether it's, I woke up on a sunny day and his mercies are new every morning. Whether it's the rain is shining or the sun is shining or the rain is pouring, his mercies are new every day. And just to trust him that he puts, like you said, those desires in our hearts to find him in the mundane of every day, to find him in the channels of waters that he has directed you into. And he puts that in us. And how amazing is our God? And we can trust him in that.
Trusting in the Lord and leaning not on our own understanding, that simply means we can't depend on our wisdom, our experience, or really the experience of others. Leaning, I think an example of leaning on our own understanding, we can go back to Genesis 3 and Adam and Eve. They, you know, somehow they leaned on their own understanding, desiring to be like God and knowing good and evil. Well, where did that get them? You know, that led to their downfall and their separation from God. And I think that's an example of leaning on our own understanding or pursuing what we want. Mm-hmm. You know, thinking that we know better than God sometimes.
So it just makes me want to ask you, Heather, like, where was that shift change? Like, did he just break down some walls in your heart? Or, like, you didn't want to get married and you didn't want to have kids, but no. Something shifted.
I met my husband. Yeah, that shifted everything. I want to be a career woman. Like, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that's what I wanted. I wanted to move to a big city, and I didn't want the family dynamic. But God changed my heart. He changed the cycle. And his plans are so much better than mine. You know, I have gotten to enjoy the blessings of the Lord and his plans. And they were so much better than mine. And it didn't come without hardship. It didn't come without
sacrifice
and Satan constantly coming for us. But it's so much better this way. And because my understanding was, it wasn't good at all. Mm-hmm. And I would have missed out on this amazing journey if he allowed me to channel my own waters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a similar story in that I was very headed down that path of I was going to do the career thing, and he upended that. I did want a family, but I wanted to be around family so that they could help me raise my family. And that's what I keep reflecting back to, because had he not channeled my waters, I wouldn't have had the gift of time that I did raising my girls. It would have still been a beautiful thing, because there are plenty of moms that are career women, and that's where he's channeled their waters. But that's what I keep remembering. Like, he has shown me this different path and led me to this point. So why would I not continue to trust him in whatever? It's the unknown that's scary, right? It's the unknown of, do I want to give my heart to another human being in the covenant of marriage? Because they most likely are going to hurt me. Mm-hmm. But can I trust him with that? Can I trust that his goodness and his mercy and his kindness will filter into all those places? And it's beautiful when we stop to reflect and remember, and that's don't want to lean into my own understanding until I do want to lean into my own understanding when it doesn't make sense. But I think you can pick any book of the Bible, any character in the Bible, and be blown away at how God's ways has always been better. And there's still so much we don't know and won't know this side of heaven, but what we have gotten to experience and the glimpses we have, you know, Heather, I see it in you when you share about how good he is. Just those tiny glimpses we've got just tell us that it's going to be absolutely magnificent.
When I hear the word lean on your own understanding, I feel like it takes me to situations of trials, struggles, you know, how sometimes when it's hard, you don't know what to say to someone, but you can sit beside them and they just kind of lean on you. You see how your kids will come and they'll just lean on you, mm-hmm. you know, and I guess when you're leaning on something, you're relying on it to guide you. You're relying on it to hold you up. You're relying on it to give you comfort and strength. And I think that that's what we're doing when we're relying on our own understanding, when we're relying on the world. A lot of times in our relationships, or the things that we call friendship that really aren't, because we go to people expecting them to tell us what we want to hear a lot of times. And if they tell us something other than what we want to hear, we do get hurt, we get frustrated, we get angry. And I think it's just that natural tendency to go to the world and say, well, here's what I know. You said this in the first session about what we can see. We trust in what we can see. So we go to our bank accounts. We go to our job, we go to our health for all the security and the comfort, the things that we can lean on. We go to our church family or our actual family. We go to our spouses or whoever, best friends, and we try to lean on them. And sometimes that works. But it's in the situations where it doesn't that we realize, now what? You know, now what can I lean on? And God, we saw in Exodus, stripped the Israelites of all of their security. He stripped them of everything that they had other than each other and him. And then he brought them to his feet. He tried to bring himself to them, like face to face at the Mount Sinai. But then, you know, that was a little terrifying. But still, I think when we're leaning towards anything that's not Jesus, we're always going to be empty-handed, disappointed, freaking out. And that's why we're told not to do it, right?
Yeah, and the only thing that stays constant in our life as a believer is Jesus. He's the only constant we have. You know, life is going to continually change for all of us. We live under a curse. We're going to lose people in our lives that we love. We're going to one day be in heaven too, and there will be people that will mourn our deaths. The only thing that is constant is Jesus Christ. And as much in his word, he tells us, you know, lean not in your own understanding. In Psalm 116, 1-2, it says that he leans in to hear us. And it says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice, because he bends down to listen. I will pray as long as I have breath. We shouldn't lean on ourselves, but how amazing is it that when we approach the Creator, the Savior of the world, to talk to him, he leans down and he leads to us. I just find that amazing.
You're right.
And if we think about our own understanding, in comparison to what you just said with who God is, you know, our own understanding is corrupt, you know, self-centered, selfish. Our heart, scripture tells us, is deceitful or can be deceitful. And think of our emotions. Our emotions fluctuate all over the place, you know. Whereas if we look at God, God, he never lies. God never changes. He knows all. I mean, he has an unlimited perspective, and our perspective is very limited. So lean not to our own understanding. Yeah, yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. Let's lean on his.
So in Proverbs 16:18, it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And I remember reading in a book that's kind of centered around these verses that to lean on yourself, you just fall. Like there's no, you can't lean on your own self. And so that is a tendency. Like you said, like our question as we were thinking about this part of the verse was, how does your mind or your desire to understand work against you trusting in God? And that's what it does. It allows this pride to be birthed within me that I want to figure it out. And that kind of blinds me and stumbles up and allows me to fall until I recognize I was never meant to fully understand. I was meant to lean into the one that understands all things. I was up early enough this morning that it was still dark. And when I took the dog outside, just looking up at the sky, at the stars, and thinking, that's who I want to lean on, the one that created all of this. But so often I forget, and I do want to understand, and I love talking to people and trying to gain more knowledge about them and their stories to understand them more. And I think, you know, there's a piece of us that's why the renewing of the mind is important. Like, it's in us to desire to know, but there's also that piece of trusting when we don't know that he does.
Yeah, when you say it like that, Bonnie, like his understanding versus our understanding, and then looking at the stars. I also have a dog, and it's dark when I get up too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so yeah, looking up at the stars every day, and watching the constellations shift a little bit as we get closer to winter right now, and knowing that he is in charge of and keeping all those things in order is overwhelming, and it seems ridiculous that we would ever consider trusting our own selves versus the God who is holding all those things together. He's in all things, he's before all things, he's through all things, he holds them all together. Colossians verse, right? Excuse me. So I guess I want to just talk a little bit more about our security. We put our security in our own understanding. I think that's a little bit different way of phrasing that lean into our own understanding. But our security, we find it, and we all have a temptation to put our security in something. I've been having a cold, and just wasn't sleeping and like frustrated the last few nights. And it just made me feel comforted to reach over and put my hand on my husband, just him being there. He wasn't helping me at all. I don't even think he knew. But his presence just was comforting to me. He's a security for me. You know, and that's good. That's good. It's a godly order of security from your husband, for sure. But I think that there's other things that I put my security in. And watching God challenge me in those things is definitely stretching. Same as Angie, our kids are pretty well all the same ages, and just watching them move out, go to college, be in relationships with other people, go to pick out their own churches where they go to college, all those different things, and just trusting that God will lead them, that they know him, that they're seeking his face, and that's completely out of my control, is a challenge, because their spiritual life and their life altogether has been one of my number one priorities for the last almost 20 years. And it's really hard to surrender that and just say, okay, I did what I could. God, this is on you. Help me to just be at peace with that. Mm-hmm. I know you're going through it too.
Yeah. Yeah. I was sharing this yesterday at church. You know, I have health issues, and so I had to put off getting pregnant. And when I was praying for my oldest, I said, Lord, please give me a child. I prayed Hannah's prayer. Please give me a child to get back to you. And I am like, if you do not see us raising this child for the Lord, then please do not bless us with any children. And because it is a huge responsibility to raise up children for the Lord in this world, especially. Now my oldest is going to be 19 and he's finished. He's doing his bachelor's here, but he's going to seminary. And I joke, I'm like, I didn't think he'd take me seriously when I said that.
It was easy up till now.
It was easy up until now. And I'm like, you know, and even wanting to be a pastor, Bonnie, in one of the most dangerous times in America right now, where we're at now, it's going to get worse. But to follow that, I mean, to trust in God, like, okay, he belongs to you more than he belongs to me is a hard thing to live out every single day. It's like you said, you did your part, you know, you talked about the Lord when you walked by the wayside, you disciple your children, and it's like, okay, now I have to trust. And that's hard. That is so hard to do.
Yeah.
Leaning not on our own understanding is a choice. Think about it. I mean, we choose to prioritize God's guidance and his wisdom over our thoughts and our perceptions and our desires. And sometimes I think we forget. It is a choice.
Absolutely.
And it's through the Holy Spirit that leads us to the choice. I mean, that's not our own. Yeah. That's not leaning on our own understanding either. To even make the decision that, God, I want to do things your way, and I want to trust you with my children. I want to trust you with everything. That, you know, that comes through the working of the Spirit within us, not of our own understanding.
Absolutely. I think it reminds me of that word I mentioned earlier, that re-surrender, like surrendering over and over again. And just what you're saying, like the choice. I remember talking about this that a night of worship when those verses out of Romans 12, 1 and 2 that I'll read here in a moment, but about that transformation. But it is a choice. So here Paul, in all of Paul's writings, he's writing to Christians. He's saying, remember, you have a choice. Yes, our faith was a gift to us from God, and everyone who proclaims it with their mouth and believes it in their heart, salvation is secure. But then we have a choice of how we're going to live the rest of this life. And that involves a re-surrender over and over again. And Paul says in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. There's our choice. We have a choice each day.
Absolutely.
Lean into our own understanding. Decide whether our understanding aligns with the word or the world. And then it goes on to say, after be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That discerning, and if we are saying we want to be disciples of the Lord, that's what your son is proclaiming at age 19. We know his word, it's going to involve perseverance, which means he's going to have to endure trials, and it's not always going to be easy, but he's going to have a choice to discern and learn the wisdom of God and to trust in that. And we know that even why we watch it unfold, not to lean on our own. I'm talking to myself here too. Like not to lean into our understanding of the circumstances, because there's a much bigger story unfolding.
What is the verse? Trials produce
perseverance.
Perseverance. I know there's.
I feel like it's in Romans 2, isn't it?
A bunch of them. It's Romans 5.
Yeah.
Romans, you have that. You're right there in Romans.
I do. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, but God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We want the hope, but we don't want the process to get there.
That is right. We want the easy button. This is America.
Yes.
Give me the easy button.
Probably the fast track.
The clapping. That was loud. Yeah, the fast track. Rags to riches.
Give it to me tomorrow. Right now.
Yeah, it makes me think of Habakkuk. We did that a couple years back as a study in seasons. Habakkuk means embrace. And we talked a lot in that series about how God was embracing Habakkuk. But also Habakkuk was embracing him. And that makes me think of the phrase hold fast in scripture. And you may want to say something about that too. We're going to run out of time. But that hold fast is to cling to with your whole being, to hold fast to who God is. And that also sounds a lot like trusting. And as Habakkuk in the story of the book, judgment is coming in. Things are bad, but they're about to get worst case scenario for them. And at the end of the day, nothing changes in that book except for Habakkuk's perspective. Mm-hmm. And his trust and faith in God grows. Because when Habakkuk comes with his concerns and he lays them before God, God doesn't just give him all these answers and a bunch of stuff to make him feel better. But at the end of it, in the last chapter 3, Habakkuk's response to God is, I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters my bones. My legs tremble before me. Yet I will wait quietly for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Though the fig trees should not blossom, though fruit should not be on the vines, and produce of the olives fail, and the fields yield no food, and the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. I think verses like that we hold on to while we wait. Mm-hmm. Even in the pain, even in the terror that was coming, he could hold on to and rejoice in the God of his salvation. God is his strength. Incredible. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Yeah, and if you like watching others, you know, heroes of the faith, not only in scripture, but in the ones that are around us day to day, that you see worship while they're waiting, worship in the pain. That they are still willing to proclaim, this is still who God is. He hasn't changed. My circumstances still haven't changed, but I'm still going to worship him, the God that who is sovereign. That's one thing this morning I had printed out the I am statements of just like Jesus was the radiance of God the Father. He came in human flesh. He came to be the wisdom so that we... And over and over in John, he tells the I am statements. I am the bread of life. Like, I am the provision you need. I'm your manna for every day, your daily bread. I am the light of the world. Yes, you're in a war, walk in darkness, but that light, that even if this teeny tiny, it's going to be piercing through. I am the door that opens up for, you know, you to walk through into eternity. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The true vine, and just abiding in that, we get to receive all the things that God is. And it's just a beautiful picture, but sometimes we forget, and that's why it's so important to just renew our minds over and over and over again and ask for his wisdom, but in the meantime to worship him while we wait. Yeah, it's great.
Because we don't always get what we're waiting for.
Absolutely.
And it's hard to accept that. And sometimes we'll wait forever, still thinking maybe it's coming, but totally forgetting the fact that God has something else and missing the joy in that. Or, you know, spending all of our time being sad for the thing that we don't have and missing the opportunities to do the things that he's calling us to do. Pray, wait, trust, trust, and obey. Easy to say, hard to do. As we've been studying this set of scriptures, that's something we just keep saying. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Easy to say, hard to do. It's a journey. Let's wrap this up.
Okay. Every day we make decisions. Mm-hmm. So the question I think is this. Do we want to trust in the one who's all-knowing, all-powerful, eternal, and who holds all wisdom? Or do we want to lean on our own understanding? Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we do just want to lean on you. It becomes a struggle sometimes in our lives, Lord, and we want to flip right back into our own understanding. But Father, I just ask for us here and for those listening that you will teach us to wait and to trust and lean not on our understanding, but to just look to you, who is the author and perfecter of all things, really. In Jesus' name, amen.